We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the month of May, May the 1st, 2018. Do want to remind you about the National Day of Prayer that is coming up right here in Central Florida. We are going to be meeting at on Thursday night. I believe it's at 7 o'clock. I don't have that time that has been on the email that I received. But I do, or the text message that I've received. But it's going to be at 7 o'clock. It's going to be in Cocoa, Florida. It's going to be at St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church in Cocoa on Stone Street. And so that is going to be Thursday night, May the 3rd. And barring anything unforeseen happening in my life, I am planning on being there. So my mother has been battling an illness now for several weeks. She was in the hospital for about 12 days, and then she came home and just been a real challenge for her physically. So far this year has been pretty difficult on her physically. So, and then later on in the week, we're going to be celebrating another birthday. So I'm really excited about that. I'm also very excited about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is going to be, I just believe it's going to be a powerful time. I believe that there's going to be some transformed women in Brevard County, after May the 13th, 2018. So if you are here, we're setting aside resources that we've normally put towards gifts and banquets and things like that, and we're going to be doing something extra special for the ladies. And but you have to be there. You have to be there that day in order to receive the benefit. So that's going to be May the 13th, 10:30 a.m. And then we have that evening off, so that people can enjoy their Sundays with the ladies in their life. And so if you do not have a church and you'd like to worship with some people who just love Jesus, we're not there to try and impress somebody else that our car is better than your car, our clothes are better than your clothes. We just want to worship our King. And so if you do not have a church home, we'd love to have you on that day, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You can find out more on our website, merrittassembly.com, M-E-R-R-I-T-T, assembly, A-S-S-E-M-B-L-Y.com, or you can call us 321-454-4263. So it's always a real joy whenever we get to meet listeners from the radio program. So if I've not got to meet you, I look forward to sharing that time with you. We just want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. We have talked about two temptations in Matthew chapter 4, and today we are going to go back and we're going to look at the third temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The first temptation began if you are the Son of God. The second temptation began if you are the Son of God. The third temptation is different. Where the first ones dealt with his identity and his purpose, how he would utilize the authority that God had given to him, this third temptation is of a different nature. It has to do with the source. Who is going to be the source in your life? Jesus was taken by the devil up into an exceedingly high mountain where he was shown all the kingdoms of the world. Now, I don't believe that you're going to be able to see that without there be some sort of supernatural demonstration that goes on. Please understand, it is not that the devil is without abilities, without powers, but his powers are no match for God. And so you have to be careful whenever the devil is showing you things. If you are operating with an illusionist, they want you to get fixated on one thing, what they are showing you. But when that is taking place, you've got to rest assured that the action is taking place somewhere where your focus isn't fixated on. And so he shows him, and there were powerful kingdoms at this point in time. Israel was not a military power, not an economic power. They were a servant state of Rome. They were under Roman occupation. The glory that they had was just minimal compared to what they had had in the days of David and Solomon. So it wasn't just the local geography, it just wasn't the kingdom of Israel that he was shown, but he began to show him, and I'm sure that he showed him, you know, the things that were taking place in China. You know, for all I know, he could have been showing him, you know, kingdoms that had passed, kingdoms that were going on now. God is the one who orders the future. He's the one that causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall. So he shows him all of this. And then he shows them their glory. It wasn't just the boundaries. It just wasn't the population. It wasn't just the buildings that they had. He showed them their glory. And it takes me back to that temptation in Genesis where, you know, Eve looks and she sees the fruit and it's very appealing. We have to be careful what we fixate our eyes on. Men, we're especially visually impacted. You've got to guard your eyes. Do whatever is necessary to guard your eyes. If that means that you have to reposition your computer screen, if that means that you have to cancel your cable or your satellite to make sure that you're not watching things that you're not supposed to be watching, you got to remember to guard your eyes. Ladies, you've got to make sure that you guard your eyes. when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the shopping mall, you've got to be careful to guard your eyes. The entire purpose of commercials, the intent behind the strategic placement of products in grocery stores and shopping malls is retail environments. The ads that you see on the internet, everything is designed to appeal to the eye. Because in many times, if they can captivate your vision, it'll only be a matter of time before that thing has captured the desires of your heart. The Bible talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. There's something about seeing things. The keeping up with the Joneses mindset. All of these things are designed to create an attitude of discontent with the things that we have already had provided. I've known people who've had absolutely wonderful and glorious things going on in their life, but something caught their eye, and before long they were trading in everything they had for something that was of inferior value to what they had possessed all along. Be careful what you see. Once the revelation had taken place, look, there's a lot of kingdoms out there. There are a lot of people. You know, I know that you came to touch not just this one people group, but the entire world. And Satan then begins to make a boast that he cannot back up. Satan is a con artist. He talks you into agreements that he cannot fulfill. And he says, I will give you all of this. First of all, you have to ask yourself, is he able to deliver on that promise? And the answer is no. You see, the Word of God says that it is God that causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall. It is God that uses kingdoms for his glory. And the glory of a kingdom, the glory of a military force, the glory of financial reserves like no other country has ever had. Do you realize that at one point in time, Israel had financial reserves that it's described that silver was considered of little value because it was as common as stones in the land of Israel. It had gone from that, glories of kingdoms come and go. It had gone from that to now it was a servant state under Rome. It was under Roman occupation. Now they're being taxed instead of having people send tax revenue towards them. Just because something is glorious today doesn't mean it's going to be glorious tomorrow. This should be a warning to all of the nations of the world right now. It doesn't matter as much about your military strength, your financial strength, your geographic strength. What is the ultimate glory of a people is righteousness in the relationship with the Most Holy God. And so, after seeing these nations, seeing their glories, and then Satan says to him, all these things I will give to you. You got to make sure that you don't put a period where there's not one, because there's getting ready to be a huge price tag attached to that. A gift is a gift. Satan was not offering Jesus a gift. He was offering him a spiritual transaction. He was trying to get the Son of the living God. He was trying to get Jesus Christ, God the Son, to fulfill what Satan had always longed for. He always wanted to rise and be like God. He always wanted to overthrow God. He wanted to position himself where he was the supreme being in the universe. He was one who was never content with his current position. He always wanted someone else's position. I don't know if you've ever been around like that, in anybody like that. What I have found is that if I will be faithful where I'm at, if I will be faithful in my position, I don't have to go looking for someone else's position. God is going to be able to take care of me. There was one time I was managing a shoe store, and we were struggling financially as a family, and I was contemplating going out and getting a part-time job, and I was already working 81 miles away from home. And as I was praying about it, God spoke to me and he said, "You know what? If you will remain focused on where I've placed you, I'm going to take care of you financially." And so that's what I did. I set aside the thing that another company might be able to provide me with just a little bit more resources. And he said, God told me, he said, "I can take care of that." He said, "All these things I will give you." That denotes that there's a gift, but the price tag is, it begins with that little word, if. You see, God is not the only one that uses the word if, so does Satan. God said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if they will seek my face." So we want to do that. There's benefits for fulfilling the ifs of God. There are consequences if we fulfill the if of Satan. Satan's price tag for giving something to Jesus that he had no ability to give was he wanted Jesus to worship him and to serve him. Worship and service are two concepts that are separated in our Western mind, but they are actually linked together in the scriptural sense. Worship is not just singing songs. Worship is not just lifting our hands and closing our eyes and uttering a few thankful words. Worship is something that we say, "God, you are worthy." It's a compound word that it used to mean worth-ship. You are worthy. And I will tell you this, Satan is not worthy of your worship. Jesus is. The company you work for is not worthy of your worship. Jesus is. And as long as you remember the proper order of worth, where God is of ultimate value, as long as you begin to prioritize those things as far as what they are worth, you will never get things out of order. There is a term that is called inordinate affection. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It is just an affection that is out of order. It's not in the right sequence of things. If your work takes higher priority over your family, it's out of order. If anything takes higher priority than God, it is out of order. If you are trying to take what belongs to God and give it to someone else, that is a request that is out of order. Your integrity should not have to be compromised in order to get someplace. I had an opportunity at one point in time. I was having a discussion, and a person told me, they said, "If you will put up this sign," there was nothing wrong with the sign, said, "if you will put up this sign, we're going to be all good." And I said, "But that sign is not an accurate reflection of our reality here." And he said, "If you put up the sign, everything is going to be good." And I said, I just want you to know, and at this point in time, I don't know if they're a believer or an unbeliever, but there was a temptation for me to compromise my integrity. It would have saved thousands of dollars, thousands, not one or two, thousands. It was a bunch of money. And I looked at that person and I said, "You know what? Instead of putting up a sign that would get me okay with you, but not okay with God, I'm just going to take some ulterior actions, and I'm going to eliminate the need for the sign. I'm going to take care of this other situation until we can afford to come into compliance with what you're talking about. You see, nobody's demands should trump God's demands. What is expected out of God? And Jesus responds, he said, if you will fall down and worship me, and listen, the devil would love nothing more than to get you serving him. An evangelist encountered a person here in Brevard County one time, poked his head into a van, and the guy was actually in there doing drugs. This was back before I even moved into the county, but the evangelist told me the story, and a friend of mine told me the same story. And he said, hey, what are you doing? And the guy that was doing drugs in the van said, I'm just chasing my dragon. And I didn't know what that term meant. I was never around a drug culture or anything like that. And it was explained to me that what that person was doing was they were chasing the same euphoric high that they had the very first time that they did drugs. Now they were serving the drugs instead of the drugs serving them. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Jesus said, Satan, you are not my source. Guys, our job is not our source. God is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides himself. And I am so thankful when God operates as the provider, because when he provides, there's not going to be any lack, as it is described in Psalm 23. And so Jesus says, you know, I'm tired of playing this game. Get away from me, Satan. If you and I want spiritual victory, no matter how tired we are, no matter how long the battle has gone on, when we say, get out of here, get away from me, you do not have my best interests in life in mind. All of a sudden, the devil has no other option. When you speak with the authority that has been bestowed upon you by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I just want you to know, Satan's going to leave. One of my favorite terms in the scripture, it happens in the Old Testament, it happens in the New Testament, and it says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. When there is a rebuke that has come from the throne, Satan is going to be leaving. Get away from me, Satan. Why? For it is written, every one of these temptations required a knowledge of the Word of God, a solid knowledge of the Word of God, an ability to utilize the Word of God the way that God intends for the Word to be put into practice in your life and my life. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. When it comes to negotiations, it's all about compromise. When it comes to walking in obedience to God, it is not about compromise. It is about obedience. I wonder what our world would look like, our modern America, if Christians stopped playing patty cake with the Word of God. And, well, I'm going to embrace this scripture over here because that's a great promise. It makes me feel good. I wonder what it would look like if we said, you know what? That situation violates this portion of the Word of God over here. And so I'm going to exalt the Word over that circumstance. You know, the world wants to say that we are intolerant. I'll be honest with you. You can either live for God or you can live for the devil. The choice is yours. You can offer your body as a servant of righteousness or a servant of unrighteousness. The choice is yours. But please do not make me approve of, condone of, financially support ungodly behavior, because that's not going to happen. The scripture says that God has exalted his word and his name above all else. His word is settled forever in heaven and on earth. Don't you think that it is about time that we put the word of God back into proper order? Don't you think that we as a church, it's about time that we started living victoriously over temptation instead of constantly having to crawl back a defeated and humiliated victim of Satan's temptation? He promised me that person was going to love me forever if I would just do this. Satan is a liar. He promised me that if I just took this one little thing, it wouldn't cost me anything. And now I've got a record. Satan is a liar. He doesn't have the authority to bestow upon you the things that he wants you to do for him. The church needs to fall in love with the word of God once again and not afraid to use it. I know what this weapon will do. I'm not afraid to use it. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the quick, the powerful word of God, and I'm not afraid to use it. If the enemy is distorting the word, rather than falling for the distortion, why don't we say, you know what? I know what it really says, and I'm going to cling to what God said about it instead of believing what someone else said about it. I don't care how famous they are or how politically correct they are. If they're wrong, they're wrong. And you and I, we don't have to give in to the temptation. Father, I just want to thank you today because Jesus Christ is our high priest who overcame temptation. And Lord, through your word, may we live victorious over temptation as well. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."